How old was your grandmother when she passed?
I believe she was 39, 42 maybe.
So she was fairly young then.
Oh yeah, she was young. It's my understanding from what I've been told by my grandfather and by my mother that the women on my mom's side of the family always end up dying young. I mean, we know it's not true though, because my great aunt, she's, you know, still around.
Well, she's still alive and in her 90s. That's pretty amazing. I mean, most people won't get to live that long. So was your grandmother and grandfather together as a couple when this happened?
Yeah, and when that happened, Grandpa vowed he would never end up, you know, getting married again. Now, my Uncle Larry, he was called a blue baby, where the umbilical cord was wrapped around him. So it caused some medical issues, you know, later on in life. So on her deathbed, she made my grandfather's promise to her was to always take care of my Uncle Larry. My Uncle Larry is one of my maternal grandmother's family, believe it was a major catalyst in this event.
Now tell me about what happened to your grandmother. From what I understand, she was in downtown Cincinnati when she was stabbed by a black man. At least that's all I have been able to find on the internet.
That was with a witness, and there was only the one witness, and from her description and what the police had said, it was extremely dark in that area, and it was difficult to tell whether it was a white man that had anything hooded like over his face or around his face or something like that and just shadowed versus someone who had darker pigment to their face. I don't think she really knew, but apparently she had been at the White Castle that night. Because the night before my grandmother was killed, there was an argument that Grandma had with a black gentleman. It escalated and got verbally heated. And I think this witness tied it into, because there was nothing to really corroborate that it was a black male rather than somebody else.
Now, who was the man she was seen arguing with?
I have no idea. Nobody has ever been able to figure that out. Now, I do know that she was actually going to... The White Castles was like maybe a block or two away from her job, which was the old Procter & Gamble building in downtown Cincinnati. And her supervisor was supposed to be meeting her for coffee. And from what I was told by my uncle and by my mother, my grandmother was having an affair with that man. So I don't know if it was retaliation from him that she was trying to cut it off or something, or if it was retaliation for my uncle and what he was doing. But my grandmother ended up going to the White Castle like she did every night before she ended up catching the bus. And when that happened, she was walking to the bus stop from the White Castle.
So she was walking to the bus stop and then someone approached her. Is that what happened?
That was my understanding, yes.
Do you know if there was an argument going on?
Not to my knowledge. He jumped out from a corner or something like that, ended up stabbing her. Apparently there were some people doing some work on a building around there and they heard her screaming. And they ended up running over to make sure she was okay. But according to police, there had been nothing stolen at all. And according to my grandmother, from what she had told them too, nothing was missing. But in the posted article, I think like a year or several years later, about a possible stabbing link, they were saying in there that she was robbed when she wasn't. We really have no idea whether or not it was a retaliatory type of a thing or if it was actually a mugging, but she was stabbed to death. Most people know when they use a knife, it's more of a personal thing and how they were doing it and how many times and how forceful it was. There was a lot of anger there.
Hello, this is Andrew. Welcome to the Catch My Killer podcast and thank you for listening. This episode of the Catch My Killer podcast is produced by Mark Hoover, who writes a weekly newspaper column about true crime, unsolved homicides, and the paranormal. You can find links to his social media accounts and columns on his website titled themarkov.com. Before I get into this week's podcast episode, I would like to ask for your help. I am looking for listeners to help support the podcast by buying me a cup of coffee. If you would like to help support the podcast, I am asking you to subscribe to my monthly Crime Coffee Club, which is only $5 per month. If you subscribe to my monthly coffee fund, I will share exclusive content with you. To support the podcast, please visit catchmykiller.com and click on the donate link or on the buy me a coffee link. And that's enough of the coffee business. This week's story takes place in Cincinnati, Ohio. In 1982, Ernestine Hurt was brutally stabbed at 202 E 6th Street in Cincinnati, Ohio. Unfortunately, Ernestine would later die in the hospital from her wounds. Ernestine has just become another crime statistic. Other than her granddaughter, barely anyone remembers her story or her life. However, I was recently contacted by a woman named Mariah Glover, who is Ernestine's granddaughter. For many years, she has tried to get justice for her beloved maternal grandmother. Mariah was just a child when her grandmother was brutally murdered. She told me the loss devastated the family. Mariah's mother experienced homelessness and became involved with abusive men. Mariah's mother never recovered from losing her mother. If you go online, you won't find any details about Ernestine. There have been no press conferences, news breaks, or any national coverage about this case. Perhaps it's because it happened nearly four decades ago. Mariah told me there was a former Cincinnati police officer that may have an idea of who could have killed her mother. Mariah said her uncle was a snitch who gave information about drug deals and other local crimes to a Cincinnati police officer. The uncle had enemies who may have wanted to get retaliate by killing Ernestine. Mariah also told me her grandmother had an affair with her boss and ended the affair. Could this man have become angry enough to kill Ernestine? Or was it possible Mariah's grandfather learned about the affair and became angry enough to harm his wife? There are no details about the killer. A witness claimed it was possibly a black man who stabbed Ernestine. But the witness wasn't sure because the stabbing occurred during the evening. Today, Mariah is the lone person seeking information about her murdered grandmother. She has pleaded with Cincinnati police and the FBI for help. But neither have given her any useful information leading to her grandmother's killer. Now on with the story of grandmother Ernestine Hurt as told by her granddaughter Mariah Glover.
I don't remember a whole lot about her because I was 8 years old at the time. But I remember her being a loving, sweet woman. She was always attentive. We always had people running in and out of the house, and it was always bustling. She used to be the one that would walk me to Bible school and, you know, walk me up to my regular school. Beyond that, I don't remember a whole lot about her other than I know I loved her and I miss her.
Was this your maternal grandmother?
Yes, my mother's mom. She was born in Arkansas in Sharp County, Walnut Ridge, and she actually had quite a few siblings. The only one still alive is my great aunt, and I believe she's in her 90s now, and I would really love to be able to get closure for her.
Do you remember anything about her death? How did you find out?
I remember when I was at my dad's mother's house, and I was sitting around in the living room with all of my cousins, and we're watching the news, and there was this news story about Grandma being hurt, and it didn't register at the time. I thought it was fake and elaborate hoax that my uncle had played because he used to always tease me. When my uncle ended up calling, he ended up saying something had happened. I blacked out and I just started yelling that he was lying and it was all a game that he was making up. And I remember one of my cousins walking me back up to my maternal grandmother's house to just go home. And when I got home, I walked in and there's all these people sitting around crying. And my best friend's mother, who lived across the street from us, had me, you know, sit on her lap. I'm just looking around wondering what's going on. And my mom went to start telling me what had happened. And she choked up really badly. And my best friend's mother ended up telling me that my grandmother wasn't going to be home anymore.
I can imagine even at 8 years old that losing your grandmother was probably shocking when you were a child. And I'm guessing it was a moment you will never forget. I can't even remember what I did yesterday, but I have experienced traumatic moments in my life from 20 years ago I can still remember. So did your grandfather have any idea of who killed your grandmother? I am assuming the police went to him first.
We found out that Grandpa knew a little bit of information that he had talked to the police about with it. Grandpa was alive until he was in his 90s, maybe 97, I believe.
How old was your grandmother when she passed?
I believe she was 39, 42, maybe.
So she was fairly young then.
Oh, yeah. She was young. It's my understanding from what I've been told by my grandfather and by my mother that the women on the mom's side of the family always end up dying young. I mean, we know it's not true, though, because my great-aunt, she's, you know, still around.
Well, she's still alive and in her 90s. That's pretty amazing. I mean, most people won't get to live that long. So was your grandmother and grandfather together as a couple when this happened?
Yeah, and when that happened, Grandpa vowed he would never end up, you know, getting married again. Now, my Uncle Larry, he was called a blue baby where the umbilical cord was wrapped around him. So it caused some medical issues, you know, later on in life. So on her deathbed, she made my grandfather's promise to her was to always take care of my Uncle Larry. My Uncle Larry is one of my maternal grandmother's family. Believe it was a major catalyst in this event.
Now tell me about what happened to your grandmother. From what I understand, she was in downtown Cincinnati when she was stabbed by a black man. At least that's all I have been able to find on the internet.
That was with a witness, and there was only the one witness, and from her description and what the police had said, it was extremely dark in that area, and it was difficult to tell whether it was a white man that had anything hooded like over his face or around his face or something like that and just shadowed versus someone who had darker pigment to their face. So I don't think she really knew, but apparently she had been at the White Castle that night because the night before my grandmother was killed, there was an argument that Grandma had with a black gentleman. It escalated and got verbally heated. And I think this witness tied it into because there's nothing to really corroborate that it was a black male rather than somebody else.
Now, who was the man she was seen arguing with?
I have no idea. Nobody has ever been able to figure that out. Now, I do know that she was actually going to... The White Castles was like maybe a block or two away from her job, which was the old Procter & Gamble building in downtown Cincinnati. And her supervisor was supposed to be meeting her for coffee. And from what I was told by my uncle and by my mother, my grandmother was having an affair with that man. So I don't know if it was retaliation from him that she was trying to cut it off or something, or if it was retaliation for my uncle and what he was doing. But my grandmother ended up going to the White Castle like she did every night before she ended up catching the bus. And when that happened, she was walking to the bus stop from the White Castle.
So she was walking to the bus stop and then someone approached her. Is that what happened?
That was my understanding, yes.
Do you know if there was an argument going on?
Not to my knowledge. He jumped out from a corner or something like that, ended up stabbing her. Apparently there were some people doing some work on a building around there and they heard her screaming. And they ended up running over to make sure she was okay. But according to police, there had been nothing stolen at all. And according to my grandmother, from what she had told them too, nothing was missing. But in the posted article, I think like a year or several years later about a possible stabbing link, they were saying in there that she was robbed when she wasn't. We really have no idea whether or not it was a retaliatory type of a thing or if it was actually a mugging, but she was stabbed to death. Most people know when they use a knife, more of a personal thing and how they were doing it and how many times and how forceful it was. There was a lot of anger there.
So it sounds like it could have been personal.
Yeah. My uncle used to snitch on people that were in the area we lived in, which was Price Hill. And he would snitch to the officer I had mentioned that was stationed at District 3, which was also in Price Hill at the time.
So he was a snitch. And do you think it might have been retaliation against him by attacking your grandmother? And after the stabbing, your grandmother didn't die immediately?
Right. And that's the other thing, too, is in one of those articles, they had mentioned she was stabbed to death on the sidewalk, which was not accurate. She didn't die until several hours later at the hospital while in excruciating pain.
So you said she did talk to the police. What did she tell them?
I don't know. I've never been questioned or asked anything or told anything more than just they were looking into it. And then I was told that there was no other information. I was also told by the detective on the case when I had him reinvestigated, I had emailed her earlier this week or so, and her response was that there wasn't any other information. And I told her that I wanted to get the FBI involved in it because I had contacted them as well to see if I could get some different perspective or possibly different methods in trying to locate evidence. And they told me the only way they would get involved is if there was new information. So anyway, after I had talked to the FBI, they had told me the local PD needed to contact them. Then I ended up contacting the local PD to find out whether or not they could get them involved in it. And they tried to direct me back to the FBI to tell me that I needed to talk to them directly. So I'm getting the runaround at this point instead of somebody just taking responsibility and helping.
So after your grandmother died, what was the family's reaction? How did your grandfather and everyone else handle her death?
Everybody just fell apart. My grandfather was not the same person after that. He never really got over that. My uncle lashed out a bit, just doing whatever he could to kill the pain. My uncle Gary ended up moving away and joining the military. My mother, she's the one I know about the most. She ended up getting herself into a bad situation with drinking too much tequila. Ended up giving herself alcohol poisoning. They ended up having to resuscitate her twice, and she ended up recovering. But yeah, she never was the same either. She was messed up after that. And after all of that happened, and everybody got back into the normal groove of things, apparently it was very well known that my uncle was snitching on people in our neighborhood because there would be people constantly coming up to the fence, throwing rocks at me when I was outside playing, kicking the dog. Just doing inappropriate things, and in the process of doing these things would yell snitch baby at me. There was one time after that where somebody ended up kicking me and knocking me down and then rode their bike over top of me while yelling snitch baby at me. So we ended up moving away from that area for my safety, according to my mother. And when we ended up moving away, and that was, I want to say when I was 10 or 12, I think. I want to say 10. So when we ended up moving away, it was like everybody in our family from both sides, everybody just dropped off the face of the planet. I hardly ever heard from anybody. I don't know whether she did or not, but it was my understanding everybody just stopped talking to her altogether. She had no support system after that happened.
So was your mom really close to her mother?
They had a little bit of a strained relationship, similar to the relationship that my grandmother, my uncles had as well. They loved her dearly, but I mean, there was definitely some strain there.
That's pretty common in a lot of families. You know, you love each other, but you don't always get along with each other. So after your grandmother passed away, can you tell me about the investigation? Do you remember?
I don't honestly remember the police ever being around or detectives or anybody being around when I was present. My understanding that there was a detective by the name of Ron, but I can't remember his last name. I know it's in the articles. But he had done some investigation and looking into things, was questioning people. I know they had tried to do scrapings from under her nails, but there was blood on the jacket. There were no fingerprints on any of the money or anything like that they found or on anything else. So there was nothing that they could find that was actually identifying. And I don't remember what else there was. When I had talked to Detective Jennifer Mitch, who was the detective on the case in 2012. She had told me she was going to look into it and that there wasn't anything else that they had found with that, but I don't know anything else about the investigations because nobody talked to me about it.
Do you contact the police on a regular basis trying to find out anything?
Yes. I've sent them emails a couple times. When she told me in 2012 that there wasn't anything else they could do, I got a little disheartened and backed off of it a little bit. As I've gotten older and I've gotten more resources to locate information and to pursue things, for some reason, it didn't click with me until just this week to contact the FBI to try to get them involved in everything. And I wish I would have done it in 2012. But I've tried to get in touch with them and everything, and I just don't seem to be able to get any information from them as far as any specific details.
Now, what about the media? Have you tried doing any interviews with the local media or tried to get on national shows like Dr. Phil?
No, I haven't tried doing any of that. I have ended up reaching out to podcasts to do interviews. I know some people have had a lot of really good results with doing that. But yes, as far as media and shows, I haven't gotten any responses back in regards to media when I've tried to contact them about it. I wouldn't even know where to begin about shows and trying to get that stuff taken care of or get it out there.
I've spoken to people who have been on some of these shows. For instance, I can recall a father of a murder victim appearing on the Dr. Phil show. You just visit their websites and submit a request. A lot of times they don't hear back, but you just never know until you submit it.
Yeah, and it would be a good idea to reach out to them and see if there's any possibility of getting additional coverage.
Now, what about the local media like Fox 19? Have you tried reaching out to them?
I've tried and I've gotten no response from them. And I also did that back in 2012. I haven't done it recently, but maybe I would end up getting a different response now because I know people change positions regularly. That probably would be a good idea to go ahead and get that taken care of, too.
It's worth a try. You just never know. So now are you the only member of your family trying to figure out what happened to your grandmother?
Now, my great aunt and that side of the family, her daughter, her son, they'd like to know, and I'm sure that they would be more than willing to help and everything, but I don't know that anybody has really tried to pursue it. We don't really, like, talk on a regular basis, mainly because when we moved away, everybody lost touch with each other, so there's not a tight-knit bond or anything like that. We talk, just not that often.
I see. After speaking to different people, it's always mixed. That's one of the questions I really like to ask, because it gives me an idea about family dynamics. In some situations, you have entire families involved trying to figure out what happened. And then other families, it might be one person or maybe two, and then the rest of the family has just accepted the loss and moved on. Do you have a Facebook page for your grandmother's case?
I do. It's Ernestine Hurt, and I think there's a dash in there, cold case, on Facebook.
So you put it together, manage it, and provide the updates to your grandmother's case?
Yes. I just made it this past week. It just never had occurred to me to make a Facebook page about it. So that, I mean, I'm trying to get a little bit more information out there about it. So I'm keeping up with it right now. I imagine that, you know, there'd probably end up being, you know, posts here and there about other stabbings from that time frame. I just have to get in there and do the research.
I think a Facebook page can be an effective way to share information. Many people who are seeking answers for murdered or even missing loved ones usually have Facebook pages for their cases. And some of them even receive tips. You just never know who's going to see it. So, you just invite people to take a look at your page and then they can see updates.
Yeah.
So now, when's the last time you've spoken to the Cincinnati police about this case?
I had contacted Jennifer Mitch, the previous detective from 2000. I sent her an email earlier this week to get more information about what's going on, see if there was anything, you know, that they could do, and to get her to bring the FBI into it. Her response almost sounded like she was, I don't want to say offended, because she didn't seem offended, but she was a little defensive, saying that she did this, she did that, and everything, and she had looked into different things. And then she had told me that she would end up looking into the guidelines on how they would request FBI involvement and get back to me. That's the last thing I've heard from her. She has not gotten back in touch with me. I was planning on sending her an email to ask if there's any updates or anything like that, and to ask whether or not she, any of her subordinates, or any previous detectives on my grandmother's case had ever questioned that officer I had mentioned earlier. And I'm intentionally leaving his name out of it because I'm not trying to put him in the spotlight, but at the same time, because it's a potential lead. I don't want to ruin that possibility either.
I'm familiar with that officer you mentioned before the interview. Now, why do you think he holds some kind of a key to this case? Do you think he might have an idea of who killed your grandmother?
He is the one person that my uncle constantly went to divulge information to about people doing drug deals and people doing things they weren't supposed to, things of that nature. I don't know if it was my uncle looking for acceptance from him or if they were friends or if he was trying to get on his good side. I don't know. But because that officer had interacted with my uncle on a regular basis, maybe he could tell me more about what happened, things my uncle brought to his attention, whether or not he had heard about any retaliatory behaviors or anything my uncle might have mentioned to him at any point, and whether or not he even knows anything. I mean, just general questions I feel like were never asked of him that could shed some light on any possible suspect.
So you're saying that people knew your uncle was a snitch since he was giving information to this officer. And that means that if your uncle had any concerns or was threatened by someone, he may have told this officer. So this officer would possibly know if anyone would have a reason to get back at your uncle. And maybe this person retaliated against your uncle by killing your grandmother. That makes sense because people will retaliate against snitches.
Exactly. When it comes to drug dealers or anybody who's doing any kind of illicit activities and stuff, what's the best way to get somebody to shut up? Hurt their family.
Do you know if your uncle or grandmother ever received any death threats? I am sure your uncle had enemies, but do you know if your grandmother had any?
I don't know, and that is probably something I really should add in that email to ask about tomorrow, just to see if there were any kinds of things like that that had come up, but I don't know. It is possible that the officer may have heard something like that come from my uncle.
It is possible the unnamed officer has names of people who could have wanted to retaliate against your uncle. Regarding your grandmother, do you know if anyone made her feel threatened or in danger? Perhaps she had a stalker at work or a neighbor who didn't like her. It does seem unlikely her murder was random.
Not that I'm aware of. If I remember correctly, my mother had told me at one point that for some reason she thought that there was a possibility that her supervisor, this gentleman that my grandmother was meeting at the White Castle, was also my mother's supervisor too. And they both worked at the same place together. So my mother said that his name was Art or Arthur, something like along those lines. And she told me his last name and I would know it if I heard it, but I cannot remember for the life of me what it was. But apparently he didn't live far from our house.
Do you think he may have had any kind of a reason to want to harm your grandmother? It is possible that she may have wanted to end the affair and he wasn't going to allow that to happen. Sometimes people get highly emotional about a relationship coming to an end.
If she was trying to break it off or if they had a fight or something like that, I mean, pretty much the same general motives or anything like that, they would go after a husband or a family member. If he's still alive, I mean, they may be able to question him and find out some more information. I mean, since he was the one she was supposed to meet that night.
Then it was confirmed that your grandmother was indeed having an extramarital affair with her boss?
According to my mother and my uncle, she was having an affair with her supervisor.
Well, if she tried to end the affair with him, that could have been a motive for harming your grandmother, and the location where she was attacked wasn't far from her job.
Exactly. And the other thing too, as far as any enemies, that I cannot think of anybody that didn't like my grandmother or my grandfather.
As you know, whenever someone is murdered, the significant other is always the immediate suspect. So I'm wondering if the police thought your grandfather learned about the affair and became angry enough to become violent.
I've actually been mulling that one over, thinking about that, but if you were ever to ask anybody about my grandfather and the type of man he was, that man was the most amazing gentleman. He was always very polite, very friendly. He might have been a little flirtatious, but he never stepped out on my grandmother. He never cheated on her.
But do you think it was possible? Even the most docile people can become angry enough to commit an atrocious crime if their emotional state becomes disheveled. I guess you just never know how someone will react when they find out their partner is having an affair. It happens too often. That is what divorce court is for. but for some people, they will choose a more violent solution. I guarantee the police questioned him immediately, but they must have felt like he wasn't a suspect because he was never publicly named a person of interest.
Honestly, I've never actually seen my grandfather angry. So in 90-something years, and when I was living with them, I cannot say any time I've ever seen him angry, so I can't say that he would ever have done anything like that. I can't picture a man that was as gentle and loving as he was being somebody who could even possibly be that callous. I guess, you know, technically, I mean, it's possible from everybody. You know, he was ex-military, he was in Korea and everything. I mean, so obviously he had the potential of, you know, being able to do something like that. But I never saw that side of him. I really would say no. And see, that's the thing too. I've never heard anything about any of the questioning, like what they asked, what the results were, whether they had suspicion after the fact with him or any of any suspect or anybody they questioned at all.
Yes, that's what I'm wondering. When I looked it up, there was nothing. So I'm thinking about downtown Cincinnati back in the 80s. It's dark and there are many crazy people on the streets. I have worked in downtown Cincinnati for many years. And there are areas you want to avoid after the sun goes down.
Right. And the other thing about that too, if you go to the website where they have that listed under the cold cases and everything on that site, the Attorney General site, there's only like two sentences under my grandmother's picture and in her paragraph of what they're trying to get information from. They don't know anything. They don't know a thing. Like she has fewer sentences on her profile than anybody else that they've got listed on there that I've looked up.
There is a real possibility that it could have been a random stabbing. Let's just say the city has many mentally unstable citizens who could have stabbed your grandmother without needing a reason. It could have just been random violence.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's completely possible as well. But for some reason, they're saying that because kinds of a killing that it was and everything, it was my understanding that because of that they had reason to believe that it was somebody that knew her or somebody that was taking their anger out on her.
And since this happened nearly 40 years ago, it's likely that whoever did this is probably deceased by now. A good chance.
Especially if they were living that kind of a lifestyle. I mean, if it was something that was a regular thing for that person, that would make sense.
But even if the person is deceased, I'm sure you probably still want to know what happened to your grandmother and why someone so brutally took her life.
Honestly, I really don't care what the reason was. I mean, some people in the family might get closure from that. I just want the person to get caught. I'm not really interested in why.
Well, here's something else to think about. If this person killed your grandmother, has he killed anybody else?
Right. And for the longest time, because of what the witness had said, what I had read about who supposedly had done it, I always wondered if any of the people that my mother had dated or married when I was younger and stuff was possibly that person. The more I think about that, because my mother was dating someone that could possibly have done that, and I didn't think about that until just now. She was... Maybe I need to contact the FBI and let them know his name and see if he was ever questioned.
Are you talking about the possibility of someone your mom once dated harming your grandmother?
Yes.
So what makes you think this is a possibility? If he was angry enough at your mother, he could have taken it out on your grandmother, a retaliation thing.
Yes. When we had moved to Mount Washington to get away from the people in Price Hill, my mother was seeing that guy at that time, and I don't know if she was seeing him at the time of grandma's death, but this person literally beat her to the point to where she had to get a protection order against him. She had cuts and bruises and everything like that all over her face and everything, and you know, I was in the other room and woke up to hearing them. When I came out of my bedroom, he jumped over the balcony and ran, and that was the last time we ever saw him. So the fact that he was able to be that violent with my mother, I mean, he could definitely be that violent with somebody with her mother. So now I'm wondering if anybody ever questioned him.
Do you know if he's still alive?
I don't. Oh, you know what? No, because I did try to look him up not too long ago, and the Facebook page of his son showed that he had passed away. So that wouldn't work.
Unless he possibly told somebody like a son or daughter while on his deathbed. A confession of sorts. And maybe this family member has never said anything. It might be something you could look into, or you could ask law enforcement to contact the guy's family and say, did your dad ever tell you any secrets before he passed? Did he possibly kill a former lover?
That's a good point. That is a very good point. Yeah, I think I definitely need to get a meeting or something like that set up with the new detective that's working on the cold case, and just kind of sit down and have a little heart-to-heart with him and everything, find out what he knows, what he's heard, what he's been, you know, kind of tell him my theories and my, you know, thoughts on what's going on and everything, and see if any of those avenues have even been followed or anything like that.
That's an excellent idea. I would suggest you talk to whoever's handling the case now. See if you can have an actual sit down with them and just talk and offer some theories. Just make sure the officer knows you are fully vested in your grandmother's case. Tell the officer you have waited nearly 40 years for an answer and ask them to please not give up. Even if the person's dead, you still want answers.
Exactly.
So the last question I would have for you is for anyone listening to this, if they know anything about what happened to your grandmother, what would you say to that person or persons?
If it were your family member that had something like that happen to them, would you really want someone else to hold on to a secret like that? Or would you want them to come forward? If you have any information at all, you know, come to the page for my grandmother, Ernestine Hurt, a cold case, and send me a message, and I'll be more than happy to look into it. You can do it anonymously if you want to as well.
And that concludes the story of Ernestine Hurt. Do you know who killed this beloved grandmother in Cincinnati in 1982? Her granddaughter Mariah is still seeking answers and getting justice for her grandmother. I was fortunate to have grown up with my paternal grandmother. She was a kind-hearted and generous lady. I cannot imagine someone harming her or taking her away from me as a child. If you know anything about Ernestine's death, please leave a tip and help her granddaughter get the answers she still needs. If you know anything about who killed Ernestine Hurt, please contact the Cincinnati Crime Stoppers at 1-888-352-3040. And if you would like to know more about Ernestine, please visit her Facebook page Ernestine Morgan Hurt Cold Case. And if you are a parent, law enforcement official, friend or relative seeking justice for an unsolved homicide case, please visit my website and complete the contact form or contact me through Facebook. Thank you for listening.